fisherman, and that's how they bury me. I was born to the water, I was born to the sea, I was born to be a fisherman, and that's how they bury me. It's a fisherman pride. It's a fisherman pride. It's a fisherman pride. It's a fisherman pride.
Yeah, oh yeah. We're listening to McNarley's Rant, the song and the album, Fisherman's Pride. I'm not sure where these folks are, but they sure... Oh, Bellingham, Washington. Oh, they're local. Canada and Bellingham, Washington. And lovely to have them. Fisherman's Pride. That's what we're doing. This weekend in Astoria, you are listening to Arts Live and Local. This is Carol. Glad to be here with you. And this is the 29th Fisher Poets Gathering. And I've been doing this show for 25 years. So do the math, as my friend Susan always says. Happy to have some performers with me. And also, I'll be having some artists come in. As a matter of fact, I think I see them at the door now. First, I just want to dedicate this show. After all, music, art, it's all about making life better, healing. And I think this weekend, all of Astoria, and certainly coming from KMUN right here, are sending hopes and wishes and demands for peace and healing throughout the world. So many, so many people are, and the land are suffering. So we are going to bring the joy and hope that it spreads. I have some personal healing wishes for Jan and Hope and Gina, Stephanie and Issa, Lulu, Hamp, Janet, Noel, Luann, Karen, Jean and Carl, Tom, Steve, Ted, Mary Beth, and for the friends and family of Sue, Boston, Peter Hutala, and Mika Aiko, all friends of KMUN, Clatsop County, and mine. On the other hand, happy, happy, happy birthday to Solly Heavenridge. Holy cow. Solly is 14. I was at the birth of his father. Not him, but his father. Oh, yes, okay, I'm old. Happy birthday, Solly. We love you. And your sister, of course. And happy birthday, a little bit older. It's a milestone birthday for Sydney Stevens. You can't tell by looking at her. Congratulations, Sydney. And to Megan and Jessica and Sally, happy birthday to you this week. And happy birthday to you out there if you have a birthday in the next 364 days. So we started out with music, and we're going to have some more music, but not right now. First, I want to introduce you to my guests. I have two veteran, they're all fishers, which is beyond me. So they're going to tell you about that part of it. But two of these folks, veteran performers here at Fisher Poets Gathering, and one of them is a novice. So, and of all things, she's also the only woman on my show this year, which is unusual because I usually feature a lot of the women. But that would be Michaela Delapierre. Hi, Michaela.
Hi, Carol. And hi, Astoria.
From?
Well, I'm from Portland, Oregon, but I just moved back home after 11 years in Bar Harbor, Maine.
Bar Harbor. You can tell she's not a native there. She's talking like an Oregonian. But that's a special place for me because that's where you catch the ferry to Nova Scotia, where I used to live. So, and if you were lucky, you picked up a copy. You don't have to be lucky. You just have to find it. Coast Weekend is featuring Fisher Poets, of course. And yes, of course, there's lots more going on in this county, in this area. And I'll try to mention some of those wonderful things. But here on Arts Live and Local, we're going to be featuring Fisher Poets. And John Tullis and Captain Dano did a great job this morning. So let's see, what page?
Oh, they put me on page 2 and make me blush.
Yeah, there you go. Actually, that, let's see. I'm looking in the one I have here. It must be, yep, February 26th. No, page 2, I have my other guests, my two artists. There you are. Michaela's on page 4. Fisher pulls poetry out of the ocean. And this is a big article. So thank you, Heather Douglas, former KMUN programmer, now editor of Coast Weekend, for doing this whole issue and for featuring some of my guests. How lovely. So, but I'm going to, again, we're going to treat this, because I know we stream all over the world, Coast Weekend is on the web, but not everybody knows about it. So we're lucky Michaela's coming home to the Pacific Northwest, and we'll hear about that too. But also, is this true? Commercial lobsterman?
That's correct.
Captain?
Yep.
And boat builder?
Yeah.
And you lived, I love this, the granite shores of Mount Desert Island?
Yep.
Mount Desert Island. That's an interesting combination of words, all three of them.
Yeah.
There's a poem there somewhere. And then the part I also especially like, when you're on shore, you advance community resilience projects, teaching coastal foraging workshops, and, wait, folks, get ready, performing in local theater productions.
Yeah. Yay! Woo!
Michaela, I think you should move to Astoria. You'd fit right in. So, but you're not.
Well, we'll see. It's on the list. It's on the top
the
list
possibility.
Of potential.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. Good. Okay, so keep your eyes open. And this is Michaela's first time. So congratulations. You've been on the radio before, though.
I've actually never been on the radio. Yeah, I have a few friends that work and do some broadcasting with mm-hmm. our local radio station, mm-hmm. WERU, shout out, Blue Hill, Maine.
But you haven't been on?
No, just live on stage so far.
Okay, then I'm sorry, but I do have to. My listeners know, Michaela is was a triple virgin.
Oh, no.
Radio,
you put a V on my head?
No, it's gone now. It was Arts Live and Local, KMUN, and radio. That's fantastic. It makes me feel good, too. Now, my other two people are not virgins, I can tell. I have Lou Beaudry here. And Lou, is this true, recently retired Alaska salmon seiner?
Recently, like 15 years ago.
Oh, okay. Not recent. For me, it is, but for someone like Michaela, it wouldn't be.
No.
Oh, I see some visual artists floating into the room, too. Well, I'm not even sure who this is, but we'll find out in a second. I think I know. So Lou is out. His distinction today in this studio is that he is our only musician. And so Lou is going to play something for us, but not there. Thank you. There's the proof, folks. And you'll hear more very shortly. Where do you live now?
I live now in Idaho.
Okay. So you came just for the gathering?
Yes, 2 days travel.
Ooh. And you've been before?
I've been like for 12 or 13 years I've been coming here. But also, interesting fact, I was at the very first, we lived over on the Long Beach Peninsula in Seaview, the very first one at the Wet Dog Cafe,
which is
now the Astoria Brewing Company.
I know.
I did not perform, but I was there. So.
Me too. No wonder you look familiar. No, just kidding. I like Wet Dog. Just between you and me, Wet Dog was a better name.
Wet Dog's a great name.
It was, you know, one of a kind. So we're going to be hearing music from Lou. And then my third performer, also a veteran, and I love this, quirky. Rich Bard is here, a.k.a., to some of you, perhaps Richard Bard. But this weekend, he's strictly Rich. Welcome, Rich.
Thank you.
And you were also an Alaska salmon troller.
True.
And now, tell us what you do.
Now I have a captain's license and I deliver boats along and across oceans for other boat owners.
What kind of boats?
Any sailboats, power boats, anything from 40 feet to 100 feet.
Okay. Listen up, folks. Rich is also, in addition to being what he just said, he's a writer, a very fine writer, and he has published how many books?
Four.
Four?
Two now, yes.
Okay, can you give the names, please?
Sure. The first one was called West of Spencer, and it's a novel about trolling in Alaska.
Okay.
sort of a romantic adventure story, I guess you would call it. The second one was after I had started doing this deliveries, and so it's called Red Flags in Blue Water. And it's accounts of deliveries that I took without thinking beforehand, and they went south in one direction or another.
Okay, excuse me. For those of us who don't do this kind of work, what does that mean?
Going south?
Do you mean literally south?
No.
No, I didn't think so.
South, north,
so
east, or west.
So something went wrong.
Right. Either mechanical systems failed to perform, or the weather was uncooperative, or the crew relations spiraled into a need for psychiatry.
I see that. Yeah. Okay. Got it. This is serious stuff. Okay. That was number two. Red flags on Blue Water?
In Blue Water. Yeah. There are all the warnings that I should have noticed before I took off.
I see. Okay.
And I found that when I was telling people about my trips and the weather was good and everything went well, their attention starts to wander and they start looking around the room to see if there's anybody else more interesting to talk to.
Oh, dear.
But if I'm going on about the horrors, it's good.
So that's your third book.
That's my third, yeah.
It's a horror novel. Lovely. And the fourth one?
It's a book of poetry.
Okay. Which is the one? Is it the horror one that has the name? I'm not sure.
Along the 50-fathom line is the poetry book.
Okay.
Oh, right. Yeah, the third book, I'm sorry, is called Sayu Blue, and it references a river in the far north of the Gulf of Alaska.
Okay. And that's the horror novel.
It's not horror. It's sort of fanatical and fantastic and imaginative and has creatures and objects even that have points of view.
Creatures with points of view.
Yes.
Okay. I like it. I scare easily. That's why when we start
horror is good.
Yeah, that was no. Au contraire. So do you live somewhere at this point, or do you mostly on boats?
No, I live on Vajon Island, which is where the ferry to Seattle takes off, similar to Michaela's situation.
Yep.
Except not quite.
I have a very good folk dance friend there. Okay, now, we just had a late entry here, and I think that must be Martin. Am I right? Yeah. I suspect I haven't met you before, have I?
I don't believe so.
Yeah. But I understand that you also are a veteran. You've been here before. You and Corey Arnold.
Yes. Who I think just arrived.
Oh, did he? Okay.
He's got his kiddos with him.
Oh, great. Yeah. Oh, we've got folks. This is going to be a lot of fun. Martin and Corey, Martin Machado and Corey Arnold. Martin's from San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Is that where you came up from?
It is, yes.
Okay, so far, you came from Maine. So you get
I just drove across the country. Okay. Don't try to take my cred here.
Very good. Okay. Impressive.
However, next year you'll be local. Corey is from White Salmon, Washington. And the two of them are showing a new collection of photographs, that's Corey, and paintings, oil paintings on linen and canvas by Martin. The show is called Low Tide, and it's honoring the importance of the maritime industry and its history to our region. And they work together, show together, and okay. And now, Corey is here, so let's do a quick intro for Corey, and then I'm going to send the mic back to my musician, and the mics are all on, so you're on. Corey, hi.
Hi, Carol.
Now, you see, I do recognize you. Corey was actually on this show 8 years ago.
Was it that long ago?
I didn't know either. Don't worry. I looked it up. It's in my computer. Yeah. And but I loved his photography, large, beautiful photos. However, I was a bit stunned when I was at the Portland airport, and I said, I've seen this before, and it was your work. What was it doing at the Portland airport?
Well, back in the, it was a while ago, maybe 5 years ago.
Okay.
I was with a gallery called Charles Hartman Gallery in Portland, and he was able to talk to the curator and get my work up. So it was up in the Portland airport for a whole year.
Yeah.
It was pretty amazing exposure.
It was pretty impressive. I said, I know that guy. Hey, I know. Nobody was paying attention to me, but I felt good about it. And it was quite delightful. So we have five extremely talented people here. And I'm going to ask each of the performers to offer up either a poem or a story. And I'm going to start actually with Lou, because he may... he's going to take my mic too, actually, because he is, I'm going to let him tell you, but he's going to leave a little bit early, and so I'll give him a chance to share a song with you. And again, folks, the rules in this room, for this weekend especially, but most of the time, if you have a question for Lou or a comment, feel free to just shout it out. Or sing along. No, you won't be singing. Is this an original song, Lou?
Yes.
Okay, then you won't be able to sing along. Okay, now I'm going to try to get my mic as close to you as possible. But let's...
Well.
Okay, I think we're going to be good. Okay.
You want to
get
this
down? Let's
put
that one down and this one.
Yeah, if you can imagine them packing salmons into a can all those years ago, that's kind of what this room is like right now.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. That doesn't... No. Nope.
Closer?
That's as far as it goes. There. Okay. Okay. Let's see what you can do.
Okay.
We've got six people... Four mics and one person using two of them. This is KMUN, Astoria, KTCB, Tillamook. Arts Live and Local, Carol here. Absolutely delighted to be featuring the Fisher Poets Gathering this weekend.
Well, thanks for having me, Carol. I liked your introduction about peace in the world and stuff. And just like we live in troubled times, fishermen are often in troubled waters. And in that case, it's good to have an anchor, and a reliable anchor. The last boat I owned was also the oldest, and it came with a big, heavy, cast iron, Danforth-style anchor was quite reliable. It very seldom did it drag. It was kind of a beast to get back on board, up on the bow, running the anchor winch and chains rattling, and the anchor came up like a freight train. But it was a good solid anchor, good to have. I lost it one time, and one evening we were on the anchor, then the next we were drifting away, and of course the middle of the night, anchor drill, what am I going to do without an anchor? Well, the next day we went back. It was in a shallow cove, fairly shallow, and I knew I had 80 feet of chain on it, stretched out in a straight line. So we took the skiff and the skiff anchor and drug back and forth perpendicular to it. Finally, we hooked up the chain and ran the boat over and put it on the winch and wrestled it on deck, strapped it down, went to town, got a new cable. Lucky anchor.
And wrote a song.
Yeah. Best part of my life, held me through the storms, held me through my strife, and a
If every man needs something which he can believe, I guess this old anchor has been that thing for me. It was old when I first got it, all scratched and full of dents. It's completely rusted and the shaft's just a little bent. Dropped it in the mud and sand, rocks, and yet somehow it rides rough and ready, proudly on my bow. And it's always brought me comfort whenever I put her down. But I'll admit there's a couple of times might have given ground. But it's good to have something to hold fast instead of drifting round. There's a lot more to this anchor than 150 pounds. This old anchor, it goes deep. It won't drag me around in my sleep. It will hold me steady when otherwise I'd crash the coast. You find the strength of something when you need it most. Bars, been out in the sound, out on the open ocean, where there's white caps all around, where the wind blows gale and the waves get steep and rough. Survival's seldom graceful when you're running in the trough. There are people who depend on me, oh, at times I wonder why. There's the crew, my dog, my family, my wife. There are people who I lean on times of doubt and pain. There's more than half an inch iron links that make this anchor chain. I've seen storms out on the ocean, seen storms here in my heart, seen the sea turn wicked wild, seen my world torn apart. But give me just a little piece of lee and plenty of anchor line. This storm might be a rough one, with this anchor I'll be fine. Cause this old anchor, it goes deep. It won't drag me around in my sleep. It will hold me steady when otherwise I'd crash the coast. You find the strength of something when you need it most. So I hope we all have something which we can hold tight. Something only for one night. Something to put your faith in times of doubt and fear. There's a whole lot more than a fishing boat riding on this anchor gear.
Wow, that was beautiful. Lou Beaudry. And Lou, I understand you're going to be emceeing tomorrow night at the Liberty. Is that right?
Co-MC, yeah.
With Cat Murphy.
Correct.
From 5 to 10. Well, that means you'll be back on the radio because we broadcast tomorrow night.
Who'd have thunk it?
Double or nothing. That was beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, wait. I'm going to... I'm going to keep that chunk for you guys. I wanted to give Rich and Michaela a chance for a story, a poem, or just talk to us, or talk to each other, or all of us.
Well, I was thinking of doing a poem.
Okay.
And maybe I will then.
Well, please do.
That's a good idea. Okay.
I'm going to try a song tonight, which I try every once in a while, but I didn't bring my harmonica in, so this will be...
A song that you wrote?
Yeah.
So you've been writing poetry for a while, and are you just starting to...
I kind of forgot that I had a voice, but I had a friend that said, you can get it back.
Okay. Do it while you can. I highly recommend. Sounds good. But so what do you got for us?
This is a poem, a true story called The Kestrel.
Oh, thank you.
85 miles off the beach, with a waypoint entered for home, cruising through heavy gray mist, gray the seas, gray the sky, gray the foam. The cabin is warm, and the engine's hum drones on, leads us into a kind of torpor, an easy continuum with the season's travails left behind. When suddenly there's a flurry, a panic of wings off the bow. It's a sparrowhawk, lost in the fog, and trying to figure out how to perch on this alien platform that rolls back and forth in the swell. From the mast to the pole, to the gunwale it flits, then flies off for a spell, till at last the exhausted bird lights on the foredeck, just in from the rail, and roughs up its feathers and hunches, as on through the grayness we sail. Now a headwind is throwing up spray that's soaking the hawk where it stands, and as time passes by, it's collapsing. Its fate, I see, rests in my hands. I creep forward, holding a towel, optimistically thinking I could wrap it up and convey it inside where the warmth might do it some good. But just as I'm ready to move, it senses me, springs up in fright and frantic, collides with a backstay and plummets astern out of sight. I run aft, but nothing is there, just the wake fading into the fog. So I toss the towel into the cabin and gaze around, sick as a dog at this tragedy. But now a ruckus erupts from just inside the door, where the hawk, who'd flown in for safety, was knocked by my towel to the floor. It's not hurt, and after a struggle, I get it set up on a pile of rope I've arranged as a perch where it's dry. At last, I can smile and go back to the drone of the engine and my dreams of the summer that's flown. As the lids of the hawk, too, grow heavy, and it nods off to dreams of its own. Hours go by in this reverie as we gradually bear in toward shore. Then, at 20 miles off, the hawk wakes and hops down to stand by the door and fixes my gaze for a moment, then purposefully leaps into flight. By the time I get back to look out, it's gone in the fog, out of sight. Hawk, it's 20 miles over the waves before you can cross to the coast. If your strength doesn't flag, it should take you 2 hours or three at the most. May your sixth sense plot a true course. May you daydream of shore as you fly, of a perch in the sun by a field full of mice, and of updrafts in clear, warm, blue sky.
Beautiful.
I'm curious. Actually, I have a question if I could, Carol.
Please.
For both Lou and Rich. I think some people might say that lyrics are poems set to songs or set to music. Do you feel like you would agree with that? Or do you feel like your lyrics and your poetry are, kind of come from different places within you?
Absolutely believe it. Yeah, I think the best songs work as poetry in a way. They don't have to rhyme, of course, but they convey that inner feeling that comes through with poetry most of the time, or hopefully in a good one, if you do it right.
Yeah, I kind of look at it the same way. songs are poetry set to melody. And I like that part of it. I like the idea of different rhyming patterns and rhymes within a single line and rhymes second line, fourth line, whatever. And I like the idea of hunting for new words to express the same feelings that'll make a rhyme. Mm.
Thank you.
So are you going to start writing songs now, Michaela?
If I had any instrumental talent, perhaps I could.
Well, you know, my instrument is a washboard. That's
oh,
what
really?
I play. Yeah. I've played at Folklife Festival and Northwest Folklife. Yeah, you can get around if you feel like carrying a washboard. It's good for cleaning clothes, too, if you get stuck. I did want to mention that Rich's poem, The Kestrel, made me think of your Corey's photographs. You've got a lot of the birds and many different, very powerful, totally different scene, but the essence of that bird. So.
Well, one of the great things about the Fisher Poets Festival is that, you know, I've had a lot of similar bird experiences at sea, like totally life-changing, amazing. You know, I had a great horned owl land on our mast on a crab boat. Oh. You know, we were 30 miles out at sea or whatever, and going into a storm. And it's so, I think I'm having this experience that's like once in a lifetime, and then you find that there's this shared, the life at sea is pretty, it's pretty incredible. And we all, that's why I get all teary-eyed listening to everyone tell these stories. But yeah, in my work, I'm really interested in all the creatures we encounter out there. And, one of my favorite photos in the exhibit at a imaging gallery is, it's kind of the backside of a bald eagle on a piling looking out at the empty mud flat. Mm-hmm. And there's this wreckage of, rusted metal all around on the beach. And, it's just, I just like showing animals in a way that's just not your typical wildlife photograph, you know?
Well, I found with your photographs, your foreground and your background are equally as important. That's how it struck me. I had a couple of even non-animal. One of my favorites is Nakin, the three people trudging through the muck, and then that abandoned building in the background. And it just, yeah.
Yeah, so all the photographs and then Marty's paintings are all from our shared life at this community called Graveyard Point. It's in Bristol Bay, Alaska, on the Quijack River. And we're all basically squatters in the summertime living in these abandoned canneries that somehow we haven't gotten kicked out of over the years.
You will now. You've made it.
Yeah, I'm weary of that. Been fighting off the reality TV people and keeping them from showing up.
Right,
because it's pretty, it's like the real world,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I actually found out about it because Marty just reached out to me in social media one time. We were kind of art colleagues living in San Francisco. And he reached out and told me I should come check out this place sometime. Mm-hmm. And I had been set netting other places in the Bay I started like 30 years ago. And then now here I am, here we are working pretty close to each other for the last, 16 years, yeah. I think.
Fishing. As well.
Commercial fishing, yeah.
Commercial fishing and making art.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You guys could be married for that. Okay, now, I want to give Michaela a chance, although she's very good. I think I'm going to start training Michaela to take over the arts show. I think she'd make a fantastic host. But, because I want you two together, especially since Marty's work is stunning, too. I thought it was, before I read anything about, I thought it was carving. Oh, your oil because your strokes are in. So, yeah. And then I got up close and I said, wait a minute. It's three-dimensional, but it's not really. It's all paint.
It's a lot
so,
of paint.
Yeah, a lot of paint. It's gorgeous. Thanks. And it showed together, the two of you together. But I want to hop back over to Michaela because she came first. She was actually here.
Yeah, I was on time.
She came all the way from Maine. She had to be on time. Yeah. What do you have for us? What would you like to share?
I have a poem, and it's funny you mentioned that when you feel really deeply connected, sometimes all you can do is just get a little teary-eyed because sometimes there's not a lot of words for it. But this poem is actually very directly connected to that feeling.
Wow.
But it's also, I chose it because obviously I'm the greenhorn in this room. And, you know, I only have a couple fishing seasons as a commercial lobsterman under my belt. But I've been a boat builder for about 10 and a half now. And
how old are you, Michaela?
Oh, I'm 29.
Uh-huh. Just wanted to get some perspective.
Yeah.
So you started early with the boat building.
Yeah, I think I was early in my sophomore year of college.
Okay, folks, get the Coast Weekend.
Yeah, Heather did a great, she has all the details.
She's got the details of how this life came about.
It's actually really interesting being here this weekend because the first time I'd ever been on a boat was salmon fishing at the mouth of the Columbia here.
Mm.
And that was the only time I'd been on a boat until I got my first job at a boatyard in Maine, just through a connection through a friend. I was as green as you could be, didn't know how to do anything at all, but really fell in love with it. And I actually dug this poem up from that era 10 years ago and kind of reworked it a little bit. It's called Crying at Wooden Boat Magazine, and if anybody out there doesn't know, it's just a magazine about people building wooden boats. Okay.
Is that from Mystic? Or from
It's a national magazine. I actually don't know where it's published out of, but
that's okay.
Okay. This poem's called Crying at Wooden Boat Magazine. I used to cry every time I would read Wooden Boat Magazine. Something deep inside would well up and seep out in monthly installments. A reverent recognition of the people who extricate their souls with sweat and embed it amongst the wood and resin. Those whose stories are carefully folded up and sent out to be found on shelves in grocery stores, mailboxes, cluttered shipyard breakroom tables. In these places, I gather them and bring them home to read while laying by the wood stove or on the ferry ride to work. I know that boats are material things. Resin and wood, curmudgeonous motors, towering poles adorned with sheets of canvas. They are playthings, offices, mooring ornaments, and they too will rot like the rest of us. But like children, most boats outlive their parents, the builders whose souls get ground into their creation, whose names and stories will be lost when there are no more issues of Wooden Boat Magazine left to clutter library shelves or my kitchen table. But they live on in the stroke of a brush, the cut of a saw, and the young inheritors like me who find their own souls drawn out and completed with the turn of a drill.
Wonderful.
Nice.
Thank you.
Wonderful. See, it's all very organic, isn't it? It really, and apropos exactly of what you said, Corey, I thought I was the only one having this experience until I met all these others. By the way, Michaela, were you writing poetry before? Have you been doing that for a long time?
Probably around that time that poem was written was kind of the very beginning of it. I moved all the way to Maine, and of course I was a very emotional 18-year-old girl, and I gave it a shot. And I wrote a book of poetry for my kind of senior capstone project in college, which was about my time working on Newman and Gray Boatyard on Great Cranberry Island in Maine. So that was my first real, like, serious shot at it. And it's kind of come and gone, like the tide. But,
well,
yeah,
it's here now, because once you start Fisher Poets, Rich, am I right? Once you get to Fisher Poets, you can't stop writing poetry.
It's just about as addictive as fishing is.
And by the way, Rich, you are emceeing. Oh, you're emceeing with Dano, Captain Dano Quinn, who was the co-host this morning with John Tullis. That's tonight from 5 to 10 at Xanadu.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's right on the corner of Marine Drive. And, fisherpoets.org, folks, to find out everything you need to know. Or grab a Coast Weekend. Marty Martin. I'm not sure which name you prefer, so.
50-50. Okay. Either works. Yeah.
Well, since this is my first time meeting you, I might have to be formal. But not really. So, I know nothing about you. Have you been painting all your life? And the kind of work you're doing now, your wall of portraits is priceless. I mean, that is just a life. Because I walk in, because it's kind of behind, and you have to be in the room. This is Imogen Gallery, folks, and that is right on the on 11th Street, almost on Marine Drive, just south of Marine Drive, and East Side. So I walk in, and I was immediately drawn to the two pieces on my left that, as I say, I thought they were woodcuts with gold and green and brown, and I had to get up close, and a few days ago, I still felt that way. Then I walked all the way in. I turn around, and behind me, the entire wall is, what did you call it, just portraits?
Yeah.
Are these all real people? Or
yeah.
And then there's a pipe in front, too. I don't know where that came from. Tell us.
Yeah, the portrait series, I've been talking about doing it for years, and this was a great excuse to finally do it. And it was quite last minute. I basically was doing like a portrait a day over the last month and a half or so.
Oh, wow.
So my hands are tired.
Okay.
Sore before fishing season.
Yeah.
But yeah, that group is all people that we work with up in this fishing community in Alaska.
Oh, nice.
And there's plenty more, you know, the group, what would you say, around 150 to 200 people show up for the season?
I think it's about 130 on average.
Okay.
Ish. At Graveyard Point, yeah.
Uh-huh. It feels bigger, the big personalities. But to choose, you know, I think I have 30 or 40 portraits in there, but it was tough to choose. But some of my favorite folks, and there's a long list of folks I'd like to do more portraits of, but it was a really fun experiment and just a trip to, you know, basically painting from photographs. A number of them were myself, but my own photos, but Corey was kind enough to dig through his database of photos from, you know, 17 or so years fishing in this community, and just a treasure trove of images that he has of our, you know, adventures each summer.
Did you say this is the first time you've been painting portraits, or
I've done a little,
because your other work is abstract paint?
Yeah, a little bit. The way, so that the water that you're talking about, the first image you looked at,
right,
is kind of an ongoing series and probably the most abstract that I get. But it's essentially like it started when I used to work on container ships, and I would take photographs of the wakes spiraling off the side of the ship.
Okay.
Especially in deep water, you get these really deep spiraling wakes when the silt kind of falls out of the sea. So I like that idea of a place that's ephemeral and just immediately disappearing. And so it's sort of like a landscape portrait of a place that is gone, you know, but and tying that into memory and how we work on the water and how we tie, you know, moments or years of our lives to ships that we've worked on. And that series, is kind of ongoing, but much portraiture.
It's called my Wake series, but I had no idea what that meant. But you're showing number 14 and number 26. How many are in the series?
Oh, I mean, it's been ongoing for years.
Okay.
And I've done, the palette has kind of shifted. I did a lot of night painting over kind of starting through COVID, where I would go out and paint in plein air, like on a beach, usually at the full moon. And so the palette that I kind of developed over that series made it into the wake. So that those two are kind of reflecting that kind of smoky golden reflection or something. But yeah, I haven't done a ton of portraits, so it was really fun.
It's a gorgeous exhibit. I also enjoyed the graveyard roosters, the baby birds. Mm-hmm. And again, this is Corey's, the photograph. So this is a very disparate work, but it works together. It's a gorgeous exhibit. So again, the background with the buildings, and it's really nice, the natural world, man-made, decrepit. What were you saying in yours about everything?
Rotting.
His buildings, go take a look. Yeah. I don't know if they rot there because they look pretty dry, but they're...
Well, the cannery was abandoned in, 1953, somewhere around there?
It looks...
And so even in the last, 17 years since I've been going to Graveyard Point, I mean, all the boardwalks have rotted away in that time.
Wow.
There's one of the biggest buildings in the community is now dangling off the cliff, totally abandoned. Everyone's harvesting lumber from it because lumber is scarce out there. Mm. You have to get there by about an hour and a half skiff ride. And so, yeah, we're just waiting for the next big storm to wash it away, and so everyone can just have a bonanza of lumber to rebuild new little shacks.
This is good. Upcycling? No, recycling, I will say. Rich, well, wait, let me just, one more question to Martin. Have you been painting all your life before fishing?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I went to art school, painted as a kid. I had encouraging parents and a grandfather who was kind of a artist and community.
So did you start fishing to earn money to do art?
Yeah, I mean, they kind of all evolved together. I really had an interest in container ships. I worked on tall ships and sailboats and did some boat deliveries as well, and all sorts of different vessels. And then... for the past about 20 years, I've been going up to fish the summer salmon season. So, the art and the work kind of evolved together, and it was hard to do anything else, like an office job, the worst thing I could do.
That's what we hear from most. Rich, what was your pattern? I mean, Michaela's young enough so we can see, and it's in the article too, but you write, publish, and fish. And now you're doing, the retired fisherman. But what was the genesis? Well, I'm just wondering for Corey, was the fishing to pay for the art? Or did you get addicted to the ocean, as I hear from most? Yeah, they're shaking. Yep.
Immediately. And I'm far enough in years from this incident that I can tell it and probably not have to worry about it. A couple of friends of mine raised some money, one of them by selling marijuana at a rock festival in Washington State, and they bought this rather oldish but nice-looking boat. They had heard a rumor that you could make money fishing off the coast, so they converted it, and I went out on the inaugural trip, which was in the San Juan Islands, fishing for lingcod. I negotiated a huge 40% of the gross payment for myself because I put up $50 for the gear and stuff. We went out for 3 weeks. It was the neatest thing I'd ever done. We went into Bellingham and sold our catch, and my 40% was a six-pack of beer and a pack of cigarettes.
Whoops.
And I loved it. I didn't care. And I went out with them one day on the ocean. It was rainy, stormy. Our other friend got horribly seasick. We caught 3 fish all day, and I still loved it. So I couldn't wait till I got my own boat.
There we go.
That's where that all started.
There we go.
Well, I'm really curious, talking about themes of sort of witnessing ephemeral spaces and the decay of certain spaces, and also just with being retired. I've unfortunately had a lot of older fishermen tell me not to get into it, not to let yourself get addicted to it. I'm curious about, I feel like poetry has a lot of power and creativity has a lot of power to help process some of the real struggles that working waterfront communities have of loss, and there's a lot of pressure on kind of all fronts. I'm curious about how you guys, if you feel like that is something that is a part of your creative practice or
now, I have to be the bad guy here. Uh-oh. Because I have a clock, and We have a show coming up in 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. Another show. I mean, I guess we could just knock it off. No, we can't. Sorry. I wouldn't mind. I'd much rather talk to you guys. But, folks, here's what you have to do out there. You need to, if you're anywhere in this area, you need to come to Astoria. But don't expect to find a place to stay. So, because it's booked up for long in advance. Or you can turn on KMUN.org or 91.9. 89.5, wherever you are, and listen to 4 hours tonight and 4 hours tomorrow night, broadcast from the Liberty, and you will hear stories. You might not hear the answer to Michaela's question, but you might. You might
figure it out, maybe.
And this, you can also go online. I'm not sure of Imogen, but if you put in I-M-O-G-E-N, that's Imogen Gallery, Astoria, Oregon, you will get Imogen Gallery, and you will see Corey Arnold and Martin Machada. And this weekend, you will hear Rich Bart, Lou Beaudry, and Michaela Delapierre. And I am thrilled to have you all here. I do need to let folks know at 4 o'clock, like in a minute and a half, Imogen is having a reception for the artists and the community. And so that's a great time to go. I'm sure there'll be some goodies too. Also tonight, non-FPG, Riverbend Players are at NCRD. Opening night is tonight through the 15th of March. The play is Misery. If you've got a strong stomach, go. And then the book sale at Grace Church in Astoria. It's about over now for today, but tomorrow, 10 to 12, and then after is at Grace Church, that's 1545 Franklin, and 1230 on, everything is free. Yikes, there's so much happening. Pier 11 Studio, Giotaco Fish Painting with Jane Pagliarulo, and that is Sunday and Monday. And Rick's Mic is Tuesday, and Astoria Library Tea with Abigail Scott Dunaway with our own Laurie is on the 4th. This is KMUN Astoria 91.9 FM, KTCB Tillamook 89.5.
Support for KMUN programming comes in part from the historic Liberty Theater in Astoria. From live shows to special events, it happens at the Liberty. For more information, visit libertyastoria.org.